Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Voice, in the mayor's office, hanging with people who are doing the dang thing. And my guest is doing the thing, well, only with content, but with expertise. Please welcome attorney Elizabeth A. Douglas to the show. How's it going, Elizabeth?
Flobo, hey, it's going really well. How are you?
You know, I can't complain. As we record this, it's a Friday afternoon, and I feel like Friday sun hits different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. So let's get things off the top, because I was actually hanging out on LinkedIn. That's where all the cool kids go. And I realized you did a piece around the Halloween week about like divorce law, and you went full into it. I understand it's you have to find a way to stick out, but how cool is that to say, hey, look, I know what I'm doing. Let's make it in a way that's snackable content.
Well, first of all, thank you, because I love having a good time. You know, I'm a creative and then I'm an attorney, so I like to throw myself into everything that we do. That piece was just fun. And there's some crazy case law out there that just coincided with Halloween. And then obviously the costuming, that was my idea to make it more fun. And seems like people like it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like all afternoon, because there's like six or seven whip pans, different locations with that.
Yes, it did. Actually, shout out to my friend Don Armando LeDuc. He did that from LeDuc Entertainment, and it was really cool. It was a fun day.
Yeah. Let's take a step back. The word is divorce law, which is definitely something that's important, but not fun, at least on the surface. At least you try to find a way to make it fun. When did you decide that that path of law was something that you felt more comfortable in to work through?
Well, it's a mixed bag. So I've always been a litigator since graduating law school, and I started out keeping large companies rich. And while I did enjoy jury trials, it was great. It was a good experience. And getting that know-how, I wanted to connect with people on a more interpersonal level. And divorce and family law lets you do that, because the issues are real. You're dealing with people's hearts, their relationships. What was their idea for the future? How has it changed? Their children, their finances. It's all rolled into one. So I was able to use my craft, which is the law, to help people really decide when a crossroads happens, what are they going to do next? And I just love that interchange. And I love, as the families change, the modern family evolves, I really, really enjoy trying to use my knowledge and command at the law to help people create what's the next step for their family. What do they really want to achieve? I thought it's kind of cool. And I like being able to talk to my clients about things that I can relate to. Or if I haven't been through what they're going through, I know someone who has, a friend, a family member, someone, but it's all real issues.
So was it like you had a case, you go, hey, look, this personal angle means something to me, I'm going on this path? Or was it like the napkin moment in a bar going, you know what, I'm doing this tomorrow? Like,
I think it's a combination. So the first is like what most people say. So my parents were divorced when I was younger, and it made me think about a lot of things, given I'm the youngest of three. So at the time, I didn't understand the legal issues, but I understood that our family had to change and look different. And that was in the back of my mind. I knew I was going to be a lawyer from a very early age anyway. But while I was actually a lawyer and learning the craft and learning the things you love and the things you hate, I thought, all right, I really want to do this. Let me try to learn more about it. So in law school, I took as many divorce and family law classes as I could. Mm-hmm. And then I did an externship at the Pace Law Women's Justice Center, which allowed student attorneys to appear with licensed attorneys to help, at that time it was get orders of protection, or to help low-income people to obtain divorce. And then that kind of had a, you know, I had an interest in it and trying to keep it real. During law school, I got job offers, and the first one that I got offered was very lucrative. It was a large firm. And then the offer that came in from that solo practitioner who was doing family law, not so great. And I was thinking about my Sallie Mae loans. So I was like, all right, I'm going to, it's real, right? So I said, all right, let me just get in here, see if I like this. And that was the whole thing. Like, a lot of times when you start law school, everyone thinks the goal is, okay, good, get in, get your summer associateship, get a big law job, which I did. And that was great. I'm not knocking that. And I did that for a while. But what was missing, like I said, was that interpersonal vibe. And when I got the opportunity years later to start my own law firm, I thought, you know, this is a great time for me to pivot. I can pick my clients. That was a really big thing. As I got more senior in my career, I wasn't able to pick my clients. You know, senior partner hands them to you and you do the work. And I thought, I'll be able to pick my clients. I want to really learn this, but I want to do it well, and I want to have the experience. So before just changing practice areas, I literally took every CLE, which is a continuing legal education that you can. I picked experienced attorneys, and not just the okay ones, like the best in the field. And I was like, can I shadow you? And attorneys are busy people. Their time is valuable, and it's very difficult. So my thing there, the value add was, I'll do this pro bono or at a low rate so I can learn from you. And then when I wasn't shadowing people that were selectively curated, I picked people who did celebrity divorces, people who really could get me to where I wanted to go. Then I would sit in court and I would watch trials of the best and the brightest so I could get ideas about how do I translate the litigation skills I had into divorce and family and helping people. And then I, you know, word of mouth, you start picking up clients. And then when I felt comfortable and better to make sure that I was going to be doing the best job I could, started getting clients, you build up your practice, you get better and better. Because the gotcha, the great part was that I was already a lawyer. So I wasn't just learning to be a lawyer, but I was transitioning my practice area. And in the beginning, when I got more complicated cases, I would co-counsel with the other experienced lawyer, learn from them. And then we got to the point where I've just gotten very good. I love what I do. I've built an awesome team. The lawyers that work for me are amazing. They're smart. And it's what we do all day, every day.
Okay. So usually I wait to like 20 minutes in for people to ask to drop science and tips. There's a lot of things to unpack, right? So you built a knowledge base. You got yourself around people that knew what they were doing. You offered to assist with a value add, which is very important because I don't know about you, but I am tired of people picking my brain. That hurts.
For free!
Stop doing that. Stop calling them to give me a sandwich. I can buy my own sandwich. You know what I mean? But definitely making the decision to do that. I know it might be a bit of like, not fear, but no, I'm going to say fear because Sally Mae is a big deal. You can't really outrun her. So the fact that after your career must have been, yeah, she will find you. And you can't even declare bankruptcy. So that to me was a lot of things stacked up at once. I mean, that was like something that kind of fell into place. So that was the plan from the jump. Like, how did that went from idea to execution?
Combination and drive. Like, I'm that type of person. I'm always getting 110 plus. And when I want something, I'm going to figure out how to get it done. But I don't just want it in a mediocre way. I want it done in a good way. And I want to be the best of the best. So I knew that I wasn't going to jump out and just start committing malpractice and handling things I didn't know, right? So that was the coupling and learning and training. I did lots of coaching, lots of CLEs, lots of seminars on top of working with real people, on top of using the skills I had. But I think it was envisioning where I wanted to be, and I do this a lot. Like, I've done this as I built my practice. I've done this as we moved to different offices. Envisioning where I want to be, making that a reality. So, like, the things that I say, manifesting what you want, and then figuring out the plan to get there. And while you're getting there, knowing that your goal is real if you make it real. So I was thinking about this practice even when I was working in a different practice area. And at night, I would be adding things to my vision board. I'd be thinking about how I could get there while I was still loving my other job and making good money and doing a good job. But I knew that wasn't my end. That wasn't my end. So I think it's always about thinking forward and then bringing yourself where you need to be. And it's like the law of attraction, right? So as I was doing that, suddenly I'm meeting all of these divorce and family lawyers who probably, I'm sure they were around every day, but I wasn't thinking about them in my circle, so I wasn't attracting them. It's kind of like when you want a new car or you buy a new car, then you see that car everywhere. Same thing here. And that's generally what I do, and it works.
Are you still an active user of vision boards, or do other things still also manifest?
100% active user of vision boards. I'm really big on mindset. I do a lot of mindset work, a lot of coaching with that, thinking about things and really knowing where and how. Because, for example, I have a client who was talking about how he wants this new house. All right, that sounds great. So I wasn't even trying to be smart. I was like, what does the house look like? You know, how much does it cost? Oh, I don't know, but you know those houses. So I said, you need to go to an open house, right? And go in this neighborhood. If you want to really live in this case, it's Rye. So Rye, New York, he wants this house. If you want to live in that type of house in Rye, New York, when you're done with your divorce, start looking on Zillow, how much it's going to cost you, what's it like, but better yet, you need to go to the open house so you can feel what it's like to be in there in that custom kitchen with that driveway and those, I think it's a 4-car garage he wants and whatnot. Like, really get into that vibe. And if you can't do it today, you can do it tomorrow. If you know, then you know what you need to do to get there. So if the house is $5 million or whatever it's going to cost him, right? What does that really look like in your monthly mortgage payments? What is that going to look like in terms of how you'll get there? What do you need to pre-qualify? If you don't know those things, it can't be real. So for example, I just moved my office about 7 months ago to a beautiful building. It's a much bigger, nicer, amazing space we built out. I'm really into architecture and design. So it looks exactly how I wanted to do with all the like custom things and whatnot. But anyway, the point there is that I envisioned that office, you know, 5 years ago. This is what my office is going to look like at this time. Literally, like, this is that we're going to do things differently. My office doesn't look like a law office. It looks like an art loft because that's what I'm into, right? So, but what's it going to cost me? What do I need to do? Can I actually see myself there? I used to come and visit this building when my office wasn't even in here. I'd come for lunch. I'd walk around and be like, yep, this is what I'm going to be. These are the people that are there. These are who I want to be around, who I want to attract. And then it works out. And I think that applies to everything if you really want it, because it's got to be real to you first.
First thing that you said that really struck me was like, people actually live in Rye? Because when I was a kid, I went to Playland and that was it.
Playland,
you go in, you want to play, you leave. But something that's pretty cool, like doing the work to actually visualize your dreams. I mean, you can write it down, you can take a picture of it, but actually being at like the realtor and being like, huh, how much would it take to amortize this loan? It's very important. And thank you for saying that. Thank you for sharing that. You know, when it comes to like professional careers, you know, I'm learning more into the whole idea of S curves. You know what I mean? Like you come in at a challenge, you work your way up that challenge, you get the top of that challenge, top of the S, you find that new one. But it seems like with your career, it seems like it's coming pretty fast. I mean, how do you balance all of that? The challenges at work, the personal challenges, making sure you're in the space you want to do your job, your best work in, and find a way to achieve at the same time.
It's a combination. I mean, nothing is easy. Anything worth having is hard. So the times when it looks easy, that's great. Smile, smile, cheese, cheese, click, click, social media post. But the truth of the matter is, it's a lot of busting my ass. There's a lot of, whenever you work with people, there's a lot of other challenges that come with that too, right? So, but I think it's perspective, knowing where you are, and the fact that I love what I do. And my nature, I'm entrepreneurial. So like, yes, I'm a good lawyer, I enjoy that, but I'm an entrepreneur first. And I think that that's what helps me to keep forward moving and thinking, because you're always thinking of creating and what the next step is. So I don't know how to do it any other way. I'm not even sure I want to know how to do it any other way.
Yeah. Well, there you go. When the job chooses you, the game chooses you, you know, respect.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, I've also been researching a bit of your keynote speaking background. Was that something that kind of evolved from your day-to-day work? Or was that also on your vision board? Like, how did you decide to cross over to that space?
Well, first of all, I'm the youngest of three. So that's something that evolved when I had to just survive in my family, because my older siblings used to like take my food, play with, take my toys, beat me up, all those things. So I had to know how to be a keynote speaker to be heard. and I would say
small podiums that, everywhere. Yeah,
completely. And I just think it's maybe a facet of my personality. I like to speak. I like to talk. I like the exchange of information and ideas. And if I can help someone or inspire them in some way, I always will. So it was a natural crossover with my practice area. Usually a lot of the things I speak about are how we can empower ourselves to do better. How like a divorce and family law challenge, there's always two people, right? There's the one who knew, and then there's the one who finds out. And if you're the one who finds out and you didn't know, you're the person who now for the very first time is hearing that the idea for your future and your family and your plan is changing. And most people do not tell their partner that they want a divorce and they're playing games. Right? It's a totally different thing. But the person who's delivering the message has had the benefit of the time to think about it, heal, plan. And normally, I mean, every now and then you have like someone who deviates, but normally that person now is, they're not looking to hurt you, but they're receiving the message and they're ready to give you the message. If you didn't know that, it's hard. So a lot of the things, like I just did a speech yesterday, and it was about how you dust your shoulders off and pick yourself up when you have to pivot. And the choice that you have is you pivot with grace or you crumble. The crumbling part is never, ever an option, right? So it's that type of thing that I'd like to share with people. And it comes naturally from a stage.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I imagine that you've done a bunch of speaking engagements. And I know that there's a kind of like certain things you're asked to share your expertise on. But because your kind of law is so entwined with like personalities and rejection on some level, of course, the financial windfall. When someone books you to speak for an event about your craft, they tend to be one or two topics where it's kind of like what's going on, what trends are, like what people book you for specifically?
It is usually how to survive divorce and family law challenge, cool new trends and topics that happen, talking about relationships. You know, one of the hot things that everyone talks about, men and women, are narcissists. What does a narcissist entanglement look like? How does it affect? What are the red flags? I talk about stuff like that. I talk about like really creative tips for moving on and moving forward. Tips for creating your new vision. Like, what do you do? So this has happened, or maybe you're the person who wants the change. How do you thrive from that? Real deal issues are usually what people ask me to come and speak about. And there is also some self-empowerment type of things and just motivational speaking. And I really enjoy that. It's funny. Mm. I don't get nervous speaking to strangers and speaking in public, but I do get nervous about the other things, like the smaller things that people would be surprised about. Case in point, like when I entertain at home, I love to entertain, I love to prepare. Oh boy, I am nervous until it's executed at the end, sweating. Whereas I can speak to a stage of 5 million people and I'm not even thinking twice. I can go to court and I can argue and I'm not thinking about it twice, but it's those little details that sometimes will make me nervous.
I'm with you 100%. Like I can perform stand up. I can perform stand up in front of a room and if they boo me, like, oh, well, I mean, that joke didn't work. But if you go to my house, you're like, yo, these pigs in blankets are trash. I get really upset.
Me too.
I'm with you 100%. I work hard on those, you know?
I'm sure they're great. I'm sure they're not trash.
That'd be the world to me. You appear at the World Business Festival in London. What was that like?
So it's coming up. It's coming up. And I'm super psyched. That was such an honor. Whoever out there really nominated me, thank you again, because they don't tell you who and what. But that's one that is going to be an international stage. And I'm talking about high assets, divorce, and cryptocurrency, and how you navigate that world, which is very different because you're dealing with multiple assets and multiple properties and multiple accounts and whatnot. It can be overwhelming, but it doesn't need to be. So I'm looking forward to that because in an international realm, this is an issue that we're all facing. It doesn't have to be New York specific or Connecticut specific. I'm also really looking forward to being in the room with so many great minds. Proximity is power. So in that event, I'm honored to be nominated. I'm honored to speak, but I'm more so honored to get a chance to be around these people who are amazing, who are doing things and doing things at a different level than me currently. That gives me inspiration and power, and I can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you document that too. I think that'd be one good content, but definitely when you write the memoir, I mean, imagine flying out to across the world to have a room to sing what's up. That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Memoir's coming.
Oh, for real? Oh, yeah, man, breaking news.
Not for real, for real. I need a little time though. It's like 2025.
Okay, for sure. We spoke it out to existence. It's going to happen. So I'm not sure how much I can ask you about this, but we've been going back and forth with your representation about the Breaking Down the D podcast. You're also in the podcast space as well. What's that experience been like getting that off the ground or relaunching that brand?
So it's cool. Podcasting is powerful, as you know, and people like to listen. They like to hear. I love to be invited on shows to have guests because you connect and you meet people who you might not have otherwise met. Breaking Down the D is fun. Like, I'm looking forward to really relaunching and getting it out there. And it's fun because it's the real deal. You know, I like to say everyone has dual personas, right? So in your 9-to-5, you have your representative. And, you know, certain times I have to be in court and my representative in her suit and she's this and that for certain judges, right?
Yeah.
And then other times when I'm hanging with my friends or just talking to my clients off the cuff, it's real. Because there is, of course, the professional side and the courtroom procedure and etiquette that you have to follow. But then when you leave that, you're dealing with, like, your romance, your heart, your kids. It's like real stuff. So Breaking Down the D is about, like, all right, what's the divorce really about? We could talk procedure another day, but that podcast is about, like, what really affects you? What's it really like that first holiday you don't have your kids? That are really, you don't think about it. It sounds great when you're arguing, paying thousands of dollars with the lawyers, but there are real emotions that come with that. What's it like the first time now that you've got to start dating after you've been married for a while? And, like, yeah, you know, everyone thinks that they have swag and game, most people. But the truth of the matter is that, like, it's going to tell
you. Nigga swag, you know what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of our clients, like, especially the male clients who make me laugh, I like a lot of them in terms of helping them move on to the next step, right? So one of them was saying, it's just like, I've been married for 20 years. The last time I had to plan a date with someone new or worry about whatever, this was when I was dating my wife, right? What do you do? We talk about stuff like that. What are the fears? What happens now if you have to swipe left or swipe right? What are the expectations? Right. Like, we talk about real things. Like, all right, the first time you're now going to have sex with someone new, what should you think about or what's that like? Or we also talk about how the law can be real. How can it affect you? So, for example, in New York, it's actually February of 2021, surrogacy was finally legal. So this is allowing a non-related person to carry your embryo to term. This helps people, same-sex couples, even heterosexual couples who might be having fertility challenges. Sometimes no one's having a fertility challenge. It just makes sense that they want to have a surrogate to have their children. We talk about what does that really look like? What are some considerations past the actual law that you should think about? How are you really going to feel? You know, all those things. And then I'd like to bring experts onto my show who can share in their craft and their knowledge in some way to help our listeners. So it's not just divorce and family, it's real life, because we're dealing with real life and people, relationships, money, kids, thoughts, moving on, new house, new business, new everything. And then it's a space where you can talk openly in a, like, just kind of a chill manner about very real issues that otherwise, when they come out in court, you become good afternoon, hello, as opposed to, yo, what's up? How do I handle this? So I like that.
So breaking that down, the Deep podcast coming soon. Any platforms in particular we're going to see this on?
Yeah, Apple, Spotify, the usual suspects.
Just everywhere.
Everywhere. Spread the word. Let's have a good following.
Man, 2024 shaped up to be your year. I mean, with this traveling and the new office and the memoir coming up, like it's gonna be a trip. What's up?
I claim it. 2024, here I come. I cannot wait. I'm so excited, and I'm wishing 2024 is another amazing year for you too.
Oh man, crossing fingers. Do we have Sam Radio hanging here with Elizabeth Douglas? You know, we have all our guests here. We asked them kind of almost like a lightning round questions. It's about you as a creator. You're down to play with me?
Sure, of course.
Cool. How do you or your firm, how do you celebrate a win when it comes across?
Okay, so we do some cool stuff at my firm. First of all, every morning we have our morning stand-up meeting. And in that meeting, the whole team is going around talking about, what are you thankful for? This has nothing to do with work. This is a straight up, like, that day, that morning, what are you thankful for? To get our mindsets ready to receive. Because even on the crappiest day, there is something that you're thankful for. Even as small as you woke up and you're alive, right? But helping to narrow down that one thing helps set you up for everything else. Because There's always something. Sometimes issues that we have seem like it's the worst thing in the world. There's always a blessing. So we start with that. And then we actually do talk about celebrating our wins throughout the course of the week and the day. And on Fridays, we end with, hey, what was your win of the week? And that has been such a tremendous mind shift for me, because sometimes you're not seeing the wins, but there's a lot of them. Even the small ones are wins. So that's how we celebrate. We talk about them, we acknowledge them, and then it feels really good. I think everyone would agree, if I could speak to them, it feels really good when someone just shows you a little bit of, like, either gratitude or acknowledgement for something you did. We all like to hear it, so I think it's positive when it goes around.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Who doesn't love sharing the wins, sharing the dubs? In your opinion, what's the best way to keep self-doubt at bay?
Can you repeat the question? It got a little bit broken up.
In your opinion, what's the best way to keep self-doubt at bay?
Self-doubt is such a real thing, right? No matter how awesome you are doing and can be, it happens. I think it's keeping perspective, and it's reminding yourself of the wins. I'm listening to this Audible book right now. I'm just going to make sure I don't butcher the name. And it's so helpful, because today, this morning, it was about self-doubt. So it's 10X is easier than 2X, right? Mm. And it was talking about making sure that you are acknowledging the wins that you've had and also knowing who you are. And I think channeling back to who you are, each of us has a unique gift that no one else has to give. And when I get self-doubt creeping up, or when I get a little bit self-conscious or nervous, I remember that I might not be the best and the baddest at everything, but there's only one Elizabeth. And that Elizabeth has something to share. And that really helps me. It might sound corny to some, but for me, it's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And you know what? You don't have to be perfect. But if you never, ever try something, that is the loss. That's the doubt. So I'd rather be doubtful and nervous and fail and pick myself up and try again than never try.
Awesome. I got two more for you. When and where was your last vacation, if you mind sharing?
My last vacation was Jamaica. It was great. It wasn't long enough. It was a couple months ago. And what was cool about that trip was that I had the privilege and the blessing to go with my dad. And I can't even remember the last time I had a vacation where it was just the two of us. We were there to see a family member and then just to get some business done. And it was so cool. I mean, my dad and I are close anyway, but homeboy is really with it. Like,
yeah,
we went out, we danced, we ate, like, we met amazing people, we made good connections, and it was just fun. Highlights there, the Bob Marley Museum, the beach. We had some really curated trips planned and just hanging out. So I came back feeling relaxed and just invigorated, and I had a lot of fun.
If anyone wanted to connect with you or learn more about your practice, Elizabeth, how they go about doing that?
Send me an email, info@douglaslaw.com. Give me a phone call, 914-615-9058, or go to our website, douglaslaw.com. And of course, Insta and Facebook and all those normal suspects.
Yeah, got to say what's up. Got to see the hot content, because I like the fact you find a way to find your tone and still be legit about what you do. Make sure you follow them on those platforms. This is New AM Sam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Thanks for being on the show. Appreciate you.
Thanks. Likewise.